This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. I'm Marco Werman. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi are in Sudan today. The two held talks with leaders from North and South Sudan ahead of next month's referendum. Southern Sudanese are deciding whether to secede from the North. There is widespread fear that a vote in favor could lead to violence. Even if it doesn't, many wonder if the government of South Sudan will be able to cope as an independent country. Matt Ozug reports.
This dusty crossroads is what passes for downtown Bor. It's the capital of South Sudan's largest state, called Jonglei. The town is made up largely of bars, cheap hotels, and corrugated steel huts. There's no electricity here, so the hum of generators creates a constant soundtrack. South Sudan is one of the least developed places in the world, and Jonglei, which is about the size of Pennsylvania, doesn't have a single paved road.
Southern Sudan is a big swamp, but it basically is the lung of Africa. The Nile River, as it goes through, spreads out into a network.
Judy McCallum runs the NGO Pact Sudan. She says her development work suffers from a lack of basic infrastructure, like roads.
When we had a vehicle get stuck in the mud in around July, and we could not get it out until January the next year. So it's very hard to do any development. All of our development is based on the rainy season and when you can access the communities and when you can't.
The hope in the South, and McCallum says it's a tragically unrealistic one, is that with independence will come development and prosperity.
I think the biggest perception is after January 10th next year, South Sudan will be independent and it'll become the land of milk and honey. But I think they're not as aware of the challenges that will face them after, when they have their own country.
The South never developed due to decades of civil war with the North. But even in the past 6 years of peace, South Sudan's semi-autonomous government has yet to really deliver on the much-hoped-for peace dividend. Development hasn't reached very far outside of the capital of Juba, or, in some cases, even Juba itself.
We are now in the Southern Sudan Legislative Assembly, and the power went off since around after two before. We have a generator here which used to be the substitute for when the power goes up, but it's not being maintained up to now.
Anyoti Adigo Nkwach sits in the darkened parliament. He's the leader of South Sudan's opposition party, and he says the SPLM, the party that runs South Sudan, hasn't delivered on its promise to provide even the most basic public services.
If I take example of Juba now, the present moment, there is no good drinking water here in Juba. So you see that these are the services which we actually need to be delivered to our community so that they feel really that they are in peace.
In the rural state of Jonglei, Governor Cole Newman Jok says almost any problem facing his state will be solved once there's one thing, pavement. Take education.
Where there are no roads, they don't go to school.
Social services like health care.
When we build the roads, everybody will get the social services they need.
Even the all-important issue of security.
The police is unable to move because there are no roads.
Along the road that connects Bor to the capital of South Sudan, a fleet of dump trucks, rollers, and other earth-moving equipment attempts to smooth out the dirt road wrecked by this year's rainy season. For folks living along the roadway, the arrival of heavy machinery is a reason to celebrate.
My name is Yot, called Yot, and I'm a common businessman.
Yot is a smartly dressed cattle dealer who uses the road to move livestock. For Yot, no road means no business. Like many here, Yot believes that independence will quickly usher in prosperity.
The roads will be graded. Almost everything will be enough.
Outside the governor's office in Bor, an elderly man in a khaki suit waits to speak with Governor Jok. Chief Sufriano leads a village in a part of Jonglei so remote and inaccessible that he couldn't have driven here if he wanted to. So instead, he hopped a UN flight.
Sultan, Tabuma, Ye, Sultan, Aida Sultan, Chief.
Chief Sufriano says he's come to deliver an important message. Even though he supports separation, he wants the governor to know that there are no services in his village.
My place is just a desert. There is no water, no school, no hospital, food is not there, and roads like this are not there.
The governor says these provincial chiefs just have unrealistic expectations. But when services are so scarce, just the sense of inequality is a major threat to the unity of South Sudan. Judy McCallum of the NGO Pact Sudan.
It's always easy to unify when you have a common enemy to fight against. When that common enemy goes away, then you see the fractures within your own society.
Separation from the North alone won't develop South Sudan's society. And if the government can't deliver some basic services, the honeymoon of independence likely won't last long. For The World, I'm Matt Ozug, Bor, South Sudan.